My simple exercise this afternoon, dear friends, is to speak very, very simple to you. But I'd like to speak about this woman, Rebecca. That's been laid upon my heart of late. And for a few moments this afternoon, I would like, first of all, to speak about Rebecca's decision. Secondly, Rebecca's discipleship. And thirdly, Rebecca's delight. Three simple points, but I pray that this afternoon, that these points perhaps may be a challenge to our hearts, especially to the speakers, with a view that our hearts may be drawn out perhaps a little more to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our footsteps perhaps may be quickened that little quicker towards the Lord Jesus Christ as we wait for him to come, because no doubt you'll be in the same frame of mind as many, many other Christians, and that is that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. We're about to see him. As Rebecca saw Isaac, we're about to see the true Isaac. We're about to hear his voice. We're about to see his face. And we're about to be ushered in to his Father's house above. There's the three little points, then, dear friends, that one would like to leave with you this afternoon. Rebecca's decision. I suppose to get a little picture of the background of this lovely story, perhaps it might be wise for us to go back into chapter 22, and there we see that lovely incident of Abraham, when Abraham took his son Isaac, remember? And Abraham could say to his servants, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and will come again. It's a wonderful reading, the 22nd chapter of Genesis. A beautiful picture, is it not, of God sending his son into this world and allowing him to go to the cross as that marvelous sacrifice for sin. And of course, coming back, as it were, in the good and in the power of resurrection. In chapter 23, we have the incident of Sarah, Abraham's wife. She died. That bringing it home to our souls today, the picture for the present, of course, that Israel as a nation has been set aside. And that in chapter 24, we have the beautiful illustration of the Spirit's work today in this world, in the fact that Abraham sent his servant, calling Rebecca away from her family, away from her friends, to somebody that she never ever set her eyes on before. Nevertheless, she accepted what the servant had said regarding his master's son, and she was willing, she decided to go. Beautiful picture today then of the Spirit's work in this world, calling out men and women from here and there all over this world with a view that the Lord Jesus Christ will have this wonderful company, a redeemed company, suited for his own pleasure and glory throughout the countless ages of eternity. Dear friends, you and I today, and those who have gone on before, right from the day of Pentecost, we form part of this wonderful company that will be the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ in a coming day. Does it ever fix onto your heart, thrill your heart, that you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will form part of this vast, vast company that God the Father has purposed and planned? That would be accompaniment for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that the first 9 verses of this chapter, I don't know who it was, a servant of God, has stated that in the first 9 verses of this chapter 24, if we would go over to Romans 8, just for a few minutes, Romans chapter 8, and we'll read there 2 verses, which he believes highlights the first 9 verses of this chapter. Romans 8 and verse 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Showing to us, dear friends, that the thought originated in the heart of the blessed God, that there might be that company brought out from this world, moved by the Spirit of God, that would be a suitable vessel, complement for the Lord Jesus Christ in a day yet to come. Another verse in Ephesians, again bringing home to us this wonderful thought, that the thought originated in the heart of the blessed God. Chapter 1 of the Ephesian epistle and verse 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So then, dear friends, these first 9 verses of chapter 24 of the book of Genesis would highlight to us some of these tremendous truths that's contained in the New Testament regarding this wonderful thought that originated in the heart of the blessed God, that there might be that suitable company and made available for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful fact of that today is, dear friends, that you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we form part of this wonderful company known today as the Assembly, and going to be known today, known in a future day as the Bride of Christ, and eventually, the Wife of Christ and the Bride of Christ. But my exercise, moving on in the chapter, is bringing it down to the individual today, because this is where we all start in our Christian experience. We all start as Rebecca started. She had to make this important decision. And it was a very serious thing for Rebecca. When we consider the background of the story, the servant of Abraham, dependent upon the leading and the guiding of God, he found himself at this well, and of course being led of God, as he rightly stated, Rebecca comes on the scene. It reminds us of that verse in Isaiah, speaking about the ways of God. His ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And we can see in this lovely story here how God was moving the scenes, as it were, for Rebecca to meet Abraham's servant with a view that the servant would tell Rebecca of all the father's glory, as it were, Abraham's riches and so on. We'll speak about that, with a view that her heart would be captivated, and with a view that she would make this wonderful decision to move to meet Isaac. And this should be our desire this afternoon, as God has allowed us again to come together to hear His precious word, that perhaps by the Holy Spirit's power this afternoon, our hearts be freshly captivated with Christ, with a view that He might fill the vision of our souls, and that unitedly we would move on in testimony for Him. Because, dear friends, if there's a day, it is today, that God wants faithful men and women to bear the banner, the baton of the testimony of God in this scene, when things, as it were, would seem to be deflating, weak, feeble. Nevertheless, God would challenge us again this afternoon to take up this testimony that He's given to you and to me to maintain, to hold, till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebecca then made this wonderful decision in verse 58. It says, "And they called Rebecca and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man?" What a question! Wilt thou go with this man? I wonder if there's a soul here this afternoon who has never initially made the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Christ as their Savior. I plead with you, dear precious soul, this afternoon, make that decision now. That's where we all commence on our Christian life and journey. The vital, important decision of deciding Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. Again, pardon me for stressing it, but this is where we all commence. And if the Spirit of God, dear friend, is saying to you this afternoon, "Wilt thou go with this man?" I pray that your answer will be like Rebecca. She says, "I will go." A wise decision on the part of Rebecca. There's other men in the Scriptures, you know them probably better than I do, who had to make certain decisions. Some made good decisions. Some made bad decisions. Remember, in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, I commend it to your reading, when the Lord Jesus called Simon and Andrew, they were casting their nets, and the Lord Jesus could say to them, "Follow me." And it says there, they straightly left their nets. What a wise decision they made that day. They decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Further on in that chapter, we read that certain brothers left their father in a boat. When the Lord Jesus Christ called, went forth, "Follow me," it says that they left their father in the boat, and they also left their nets. The Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, He wants the preeminent place in our hearts and in our lives. And if the challenge goes forth to us today, "Follow me, come, follow me," let us take up the challenge, dear friends. Again, can I say that if there's a day that the challenge is being heard, it ought to be today. "Wilt thou go with this man?" Rebecca said, "I will go." Perhaps there might be a fresh challenge for us all today. "Wilt thou go with this man?" I trust with the help of the Holy Spirit today, we might take up this challenge and make initially the vital decision to follow Christ, to make Him our Lord and Savior of our lives. And as we move on, different steps that we can take in our Christian experience and life down here may be for the pleasure and the glory of God. Samson was a man who we read of. He made a poor decision, with the result that decision that Samson made that day, he lost his strength, remember. He lost his sight. He lost his liberty. And last of all, dear friends, he lost his dignity. All the result of a bad decision. Oh, dear friends, then, as Christians today, may God help us as we move through in our Christian life, being found here for his praise and glory. May we be enabled by the Spirit's power today to make wise and correct decisions. Perhaps there's a young Christian in this room who's never, ever decided to enter the waters of baptism. I commend this exercise to you today, dear young Christian friend. If you've never taken that step, take it today. It's important. It's vital for your Christian life. It's a stability to take sides with a rejected Christ in this world in which we're passing through. Perhaps there's a Christian who has never been exercised, as it were, to find his place around the Lord Jesus in the Lord's Day morning, to remember him in his death. Dear friends, perhaps this afternoon might be the afternoon that you'll decide to go forward with your exercise. Take your place with God's people to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, in his resurrection, and his ascension. I want to tell you today, dear Christian friend, if you've never taken the step, the Lord Jesus wants you to take the step. Perhaps this might be an area today that you'll decide upon. However, Rebecca, she made this important decision. When the question was put to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" she could say, "I will go." A wonderful decision Rebecca made. Secondly, I want to speak about her discipleship. Her discipleship. And I feel that this is a word for the speaker's heart this afternoon. In verse 61, it says, "Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man." Followed the man. Now, perhaps I'm taking this little scripture out of its context a little today. But oh, dear friends, I want to impress our hearts that discipleship, it's all geared up to this unique man, this wonderful man, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to mean? What does it mean to be a disciple? Simply, is it not? It's to mean a follower of him, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Rebecca followed the man. And as I look around this company this afternoon, there's various ages. There's the elderly, there's the middle-aged, there's the young. But I'm sure you'll agree with me that no matter what stage we are in our Christian experience, there's a challenge to us all when it comes to the matter of discipleship. And I think to get an understanding a little of this truth of discipleship, I'd like to read a verse in Matthew chapter 17. And it's verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, sorry. Matthew 16, verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I believe in the matter of discipleship, there are certain conditions that have to be met. First of all, I believe there's to be full consecration to Christ. Full consecration to Christ. And I believe this is what we get in verse 24. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I thank God for this word, follow me. Discipleship, dear friends, as I said at the beginning, it concerns a person, and that person for you and me today is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants from your heart, and he wants from my heart, full commitment, full consecration to follow him today. We're living in a difficult day, dear fellow Christian. You know that as well as I do. You elderly saint, you know it far better than I do. There's problems that face us today that requires full commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ and the testimony that he has given to us to hold for his pleasure and for his name here. That's the reason why I believe the Spirit of God would emphasize upon our hearts today the fact of taking up the cross and following Jesus. Following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me whilst he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus, my Savior is my all in all. I trust we all know what it is to be then a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8. There we get another verse in relation to this matter of discipleship. And it's verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if we continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Isn't that marvelous? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Full commitment to Christ, our first scripture. Secondly, continuance in his precious word, the second scripture. Oh, dear friends, today again, if there's a day, it's today that we need the precious holy scriptures. We cannot do without the word of God, dear friends, and let us lay hold on to it tenaciously. We need it. Some of our Christian friends would rob us of parts of our Bibles today. Oh, dear friends, let me emphasize the importance of the Word of God for our souls today. I want to urge my Christian friend, especially my young Christian believer, get yourself along to the Bible readings. Get yourself along to the Bible study meetings. Because it's at that meetings, dear friend, that there's food for your precious soul. Get yourself occupied with the Word of God at home. Get yourself acquainted with the Scriptures. It's God's holy Word. And it's in the Bible today that we'll find food for our souls, guidance for our feet. The Word of God. Let us see to it, dear friends, that we grasp it with both our hands, and let us, with the power of the Spirit of God, never let it go. Can I read that verse again, John 8? If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Another verse in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Pardon me for reading the scriptures, but you know, it's the Word of God. The word of God is far, far greater than anything that I can say to you this afternoon. Luke's Gospel in chapter 14 and it's verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, not and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Dear friends, in no way, and I urge this today, in no way does the Spirit of God tell us in our Bibles that we've got to hate our mother and our father. In other words, other scriptures that tells us quite clearly that we have to honor them. May God help us today to honor our parents. But what I believe the Spirit of God is bringing forth before for us here is that in all things, the Lord Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. He must have that preeminent place in our hearts, dear friends. And after that, if he has got that place there, these things that we've read of in chapter 14 will fall into place. But dear friends, it takes courage. It takes courage to take a stand with these verses in Luke 14. But wonderful promises. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. Now that takes courage to do. Are we prepared for it? What a challenge, eh? Are we prepared to make the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake all and follow him? It would take courage today. God, dear friend, has given us the wherewithal. He has given to us the power of the Holy Spirit of God to help us in these matters of discipleship. And last of all, there's a verse in John 13. I think it is. I like this little verse. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. What a statement. If ye have love one to another. Again, pardon me for saying it. If there's a day, it's today, dear friends, that we ought to love one another. The enemy is getting inroads, sad to say, in the Christian circle. And oh, if Brother King Thompson was here today, he would be telling me that love is the oil that oils the gears, enables the wheel to go round. Love, true Christian love. One's prayer is that we'd be more seen in one's life as he moves down here. Love for one another. There's a verse, I think it's in John 15. There it says that if we bear fruit, it'll be seen that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll see from these scriptures that we've read together the importance of what it is to be a true disciple. It could cost us something. But dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is worth it all, and he'll give us the wherewithal to enable us to carry it through, to be true disciples for his name. Rebecca, she moved on. She followed the man. I trust that little result of our little time here today may be that we might be drawn that wee bit closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that perhaps that closer communion with him, the result may be brighter testimony for his name here in this dark, evil world in which we are passing through. I see my time's going on. Rebecca, she took that decision. She followed the man in true discipleship over the wilderness. And it says, Isaac came from the way, verse 62, the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Dear friends, perhaps I take this little verse again out of its context a little. I believe today the Lord Jesus Christ is looking down upon us here in this world, and he sees each Christian moving on in their Christian life, and he's saying to himself, I'm sure of this, they are coming home. I sometimes wonder that we forget the delight that's found in the heart of the Savior as he sees the redeemed company. There are those who have gone home, who have weathered the storm, as it were, but there's a vast company still in this scene, dear friends, that the eye of the precious Savior is gazing upon today. And I believe there's a delight in his heart, and he's saying to himself, they are coming home. Have you ever thought, dear friend, as an individual, where God has placed you in the testimony today, that eye of his is ever upon you as an individual? He knows about you. He knows what sorest trials mean, for the Lord Jesus Christ has known the same. There's nothing that you and I are called to pass through that the eye of God the Father doesn't see, that the heart of the God and Father doesn't know about. He knows all about it. And he's looking down upon this company today, and he sees each one, and we're going home to the true Isaac. Rebecca, it says, verse 64, Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. There was a delight in the heart of Rebecca, so much so that it made her come off her camel when she saw Isaac, the one whom the servant had told her all about. She now saw Isaac in the distance. Her heart was moved. She came off that camel. She veiled herself. And she went on to meet Isaac. And we read, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, took Rebekah, she became his wife, and he loved her. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The second time I understand that this little word love is mentioned in the scriptures, and it's in relation to Isaac loving Rebecca. Oh, dear friends, today there's a love that's going to be stored upon us. When we get home to the glory, and we'll stand there absolutely amazed, I think. There's a love. Our love ebbs and flows. But the love that's been bestowed upon us is a constant love. And that love, dear fellow Christian, is eventually going to land you as an individual and me as an individual at the side of the Saviour in heavenly glory. Isn't a wonderful end to a wonderful story? The delight of Rebecca makes me wonder of that scripture in the Songs of Solomon, when there chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, yea, he is altogether lovely. I believe that's going to be the attitude of all our hearts when we reach the other side, when we'll see Jesus face to face, when we shall be like him, when we shall be with him. I think that volume of praise that will ascend to him then will include something of that which we read of in the Songs of Solomon. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Dear friends, may the hope, the bright hope that's been set before us, may it bright burn that wee bit brighter in all our souls with a view that this wonderful coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, might be seen in evidence in all our lives, in all that we do, in all that we say, with a view that one day soon we're going to be with him, we're going to be like him, and we're going to be delighted in him, but also his heart, the heart of the Saviour, shall be truly satisfied. May God bless us today. May the challenge, perhaps, that's come forth from the Scriptures, Rebecca's decision, Rebecca's discipleship, Rebecca's delight, help us all to move on for his praise and for his glory, for his name's sake. Can we sing in closing 247? And is it so we shall be like thy Son? Is this the grace which he for us has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his own blessed likeness brought. Not we alone, thy loved ones all complete, in glory round thee there with joy shall meet. All like thee for thy glory, like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored.